I know you've worked with New Japan before, but how did you get, you know, involved in this endeavor with Access TV?
Well, in I think it was in November that Mauro Ranallo was negotiating with WWE, and then they consummated their deal. And at that time, Access approached my business manager and wanted to know if I would be interested in that opportunity, and we were. That's kind of what we that's how that worked. And they approached us. We were a willing negotiate. You know, we were willing to work with them, and excited about the opportunity, to be honest with you. So, so Mauro going to WWE opened the door for me to go to Access TV, and it was an opportunity that, as a longtime broadcaster and a fan of pro wrestling, that I really embraced, because I really enjoy the style of the New Japan product, which is totally, in my opinion, totally unlike what you normally see on the regular fare of North American televised pro wrestling.
I'm very, very happy that you mentioned the difference in style. Can we just talk a little bit about strong style and just how New Japan is a different promotion entirely?
Sure. The strong style term is somewhat of a trendy term. It essentially means that the performers, athletes, are more physical than many of their counterparts in other promotions. They do things that are more logical. They do things that make sense. They tell very compelling physical stories in the ring. They really approach their product like it is a mainstream sport, and that's how we plan on broadcasting it. We're not going to deviate from what you're seeing on the screen, and we're going to underscore the physicality. It's not canned or faux physicality. I mean, these guys are actually, being very aggressive in their execution of what they do in the show business art form of pro wrestling. So it's a different style than we see a lot in the States. And I think people are going to respond to it, the message, very well. And the first show that we did was, had two matches on it. So you have time for the matches to evolve, to tell a good story. It gives the broadcasters an opportunity to really let the audience suspend their disbelief,
mm-hmm.
and get wrapped up in the athletic aspects of the show, which still has sizzle and drama and, all that. But still, it's all about, to me, the in-ring presentation being unique and almost a throwback to days gone by.
Do you think it helps, considering, how physical the action is, to have someone like Josh Barnett with you calling the action, someone that kind of understands how a lot of that stuff works?
Oh, absolutely. Josh is a highly trained pro wrestler, in addition to being the youngest UFC heavyweight champion of all time. So, absolutely, he's a very, very intelligent. He understands the Japanese culture. He wrestled in that environment. Pardon me. So,
okay.
He's the perfect color analyst for us to have beside us for these shows, without question.
I'm happy that you mentioned before that there's still some sizzle, and probably some of the biggest sizzle has to do with the Bullet Club. So for people that aren't too familiar with the Bullet Club, can you just talk a little bit about their impact, not only in New Japan, but in the WWE now?
Well, the Bullet Club is for the lack of a better way of explaining it, they're the Four Horsemen type entity that many of us remember from back in the day. They're the NWO. They're any faction that created controversy and that was laden with very talented individuals to comprise their group. So they're a group that has done very well in New Japan. And, of course, four of them are coming to WWE soon. But, fortunately for us, many of their matches that they recorded while they were still in New Japan have yet to air on Access. So we'll have the opportunity to call. But for example, the first night of this Friday night, our show has a tag match involving AJ Styles, who who's now in WWE. And it also has a championship match involving Shinsuke Nakamura, who is also signed with WWE. So we're going to kind of get the best of both worlds. Fans can see them on WWE programming if they choose, but they're still alive and well on our broadcast on Friday night.
Do you think it's a testament to, like, the way New Japan does business that, you know, the Bullet Club has had a few different iterations, but they somehow always manage to find someone special to be a leader? It's like when AJ Styles and Anderson and all those guys are getting ready to go, Kenny Omega comes out of the blue. I mean, a lot of wrestling promotions would have problems keeping a faction that hot, but New Japan consistently finds a way to do that. Do you find that interesting at all?
Well, I think it's good booking. I just think it's fundamentally sound booking. You know, the New Japan, the creative arm, is not recreating something. They're not recreating the product. They're just utilizing logic and common sense to their creative. And Kenny Omega, and now he'll have his fingerprints on the Bullet Club. It'll take a little different image, no doubt. It'll look different and feel different, but it'll still have the same results because the Bullet Club has got great name identity. And so it's a unique situation that they built such a strong brand in the Bullet Club that now they're very strategic in how they stock their shelves to represent the Bullet Club. So I look forward to it's new blood. The old expression in wrestling still holds true. When one door closes, another door always opens. So with AJ being the leader of the Bullet Club going to WWE, it obviously creates an opportunity for someone. That someone is Kenny Omega, who is very talented and is getting the biggest break of his life. So I would suspect he's going to do all he can to make the Bullet Club bigger and better than it was in his previous incarnation.
The internet and just how much smaller our world has become over the past 15, 20 years has kind of changed professional wrestling entirely. I mean, Xavier Woods' podcast, Kenny Omega, was on the other day, and I don't think 15 years ago you would have ever seen a WCW or a WWE guy doing the same show together and talking. How do you think this show on Access TV is going to bring you guys closer to the United States audience?
Well, I'd like to think that people are going to check out Josh Barnett and myself because we're going to be telling a different story than they're used to hearing. I think our style, our broadcasting style, our own personal philosophies of what goes on in the ring is very well suited for the product that we're calling. But, you know, Access is doing they're not only doing promos and promotion to underscore our show on Friday night. I also recorded last Tuesday at Caesar's Palace in Vegas. I was there to participate in a press conference for CBS Sportsnet Boxing, of which I'll be the play-by-play guy beginning March 12th. But I did an interview while I was there with Michael Schiavallo, who's the MMA voice of Access TV. And this Friday night I'll be on his show called Voice Versus, which is an hour-long interview show. And he grilled me very well. He sauced me up and grilled me. It's a good show. I think people are going to really enjoy it. So it's a big package of shows and promotion for Friday night. And hopefully, we will be able to enjoy New Japan even more with Access as the year progresses. You know, I'd love to go to Japan and broadcast back to the States on Access live New Japan events, the big ones. And I've made that desire known. And whether it gets done or not is another story. But I think we've just scratched the surface on how we can help build a New Japan brand using Access TV as the vehicle to the North American audience.
Do you ever see New Japan? I mean, New Japan is wrestling in Japan. They're a major force. They've been around, you know, for more than four decades, since 72. Do you ever see them being a force to be reckoned with as far as, like, the WWE, like them challenging the WWE for more viewers?
I think they could be a force on TV, but as far as threatening the WWE stronghold and their market share, that's going to be extremely challenging for anybody. or for everybody combined, quite frankly. So, but I do think that they can grow their television audience. I do think they could monetize their brand in this country quite easily if it's strategically programmed and the opportunities increase. So, but as far as overtaking WWE, that'd be like asking, do you think the an alternative football league is going to overtake the NFL? It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Last time we spoke, we played a little game. I called five guys. I just mentioned five guys, and you told me like what you thought about them. I was figuring it'd be a good opportunity to mention five New Japan wrestling stars, just to kind of educate the United States fan base that aren't too familiar with them. Is that okay? Shibata.
Oh, I had to revert back to my material. there's a lot of interchangeable parts in New Japan, and but they've got so many talented guys. They have so much depth by and large. Now, you know, people may raise their eyebrows at that and say, how they have depth because they've got they got these guys leaving. But that happens in wrestling all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the old adage, you know, one door closes, another door opens. But anyway, you asked about Shibata. Shibata's, he's another one of those, you know, he's a smooth, almost a Ricky Steamboat-like ability. He's really, really good. And, you know, he's one, like I said, he's one of many guys that people, it's our job as broadcasters to introduce these talents as if you hadn't seen them before. It's our job to give you a reason to be interested in their TV persona and their athletic career. So I think that we're prepared to do that, Josh and I. But Shibata's he's got a great physique. He's a 6-foot guy. You know, he's not a giant. He reminds a lot of people of Ken Shamrock. Ken Shamrock was wrestling in WWE. So he's that kind of guy. He's a young star that I think is going to be extremely good. He's a second generation guy. He does have a little resemblance of a smoothness of Ricky Steamboat and the MMA ground based attack of a Ken Shamrock.
Very nice. Kushida.
Well, he's one of the best junior heavyweights in the world. Without question. You know, he's the young Jushin Liger. He's got that great athleticism, but a really amazing ground attack. He had a one-hour match. The match that lasted the entire hour of television is coming up in a few weeks in the finals of the Super Junior Tournament between he and Kyle O'Reilly. That is an absolute classic. But Kushida I think he is one of the guys that can be really a cornerstone as New Japan continues to re-emphasize, if that's a word,
mm-hmm.
the Super Juniors, and that title kind of is a connotation of, well, they're less than, they're not less than anything. Anybody that thinks that a small guy or smaller guy, smaller meaning 200 plus pounds, which I don't perceive to be small, can't do well, then. Be popularity wise, selling ticket wise, all that stuff, is just wrong. Just dead wrong. And, I mean, WWE's proven that. Rey Mysterio's not a giant. Eddie Guerrero is not a giant. Chris Benoit is not a giant. So, AJ Styles is under 6 feet tall. Chris Jericho's under 6 feet tall. So the size doesn't matter. I generally give that anybody that rants loud and long about somebody being too small in pro wrestling have likely never had their ass whipped by a smaller guy.
It's true. All right, Kenny Omega.
Well, Kenny Omega, we talked about him as new leader of the Bullet Club. He's got a really bright future. He's a young guy. He wrestles bigger than he is, and he also looks bigger than he is. He's a good-sized guy, very athletic from Winnipeg. And he is extremely fundamentally sound, and he gets the showbiz aspect of being an antagonist. He seems to relish in the opportunity to motivate the fans to come see him lose, and that's probably one of the great traits that a pro wrestling villain can have, is that people will pay money to see you get your butt whipped.
Tanahashi?
Well, Tanahashi's New Japan's John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that when New Japan was in a little bit of a valley, they saddled him up. They made him their top guy, and he brought him back to prominence. So he's an amazingly gifted competitor. He has a great cult following. He's the biggest star right now in New Japan, being rivaled by Okada. But Tanahashi is New Japan's John Cena, for lack of a better term. He's the face of their brand right now. How that face is shared still remains to be seen. But he's really an impressive athlete, really, really impressive. Here's the thing about him is he doesn't get too big a hurry. He's fundamentally sound. He's just as good on the ground. He does some great things through the air. He's very well-rounded. He's got a wonderful look. And so he's their it guy right now, but being challenged by Okada.
I'm happy that you mentioned the Rainmaker himself. What do you think of Okada?
Oh, I love him. I think I think he's got the best drop kick in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's got a wonderful look. He's lean. He's long for a Japanese athlete. Really a good look. I still shake my head and scratch my head about how in the hell he could have been in TNA and they didn't use him.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the great mysteries of the mat world. I don't get it. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But in any event, he's got the look. He's marketable. He's athletic. Really good instinct for the business. So I thoroughly enjoyed meeting him when I was over there in 2015 for the Wrestle Kingdom 9. But he was, you know, he's a lot of people compare him to a young Ric Flair as far as his being, you know, colorful and flamboyant, and some because his length compared to Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that type of body, but he's just a joy to watch. And the great thing about it is that he's 28 years old. So I think we're seeing him move into his prime. So it'll be exciting to follow his career on Friday nights on Access as we move forward.
Who's a sleeper on the roster? Somebody that we haven't mentioned yet that you kind of look at and go, that's a reason why I want to watch this show. For this, I want to see this guy perform.
Well, that could probably fit a lot of guys, depending on your style. I like Ishii is very good. And Goto's very good. Our first show on Friday night, Goto challenges Nakamura for Nakamura's Intercontinental title, and they had one of the best pure wrestling matches that I've seen in years. So Goto's a sleeper. Ishii is a sleeper. Some of those young kids that haven't had their cup of coffee yet, like Fit Finley's son, David Finley, Scott Hall, a.k.a. Razor Ramon's son, Cody Hall. I have very high hopes for those young guys, too, and they're really yet to really get started.
You were talking a little bit before about Okada in TNA, how that didn't work out. Does it kind of like befuddle your mind sometimes when you look at guys that, you know, someone like a Mike Barton who never got could never get over in the United States, or Mike Awesome couldn't get over in the States in the beginning. They go to Japan, they have all this success, and how the audience is just so different in Japan?
Well, it's, you know, the audience is different, but the booking is more spot on. That, you know, having a talent in the States that doesn't have any distinguished career, or he's underachieving, could be a lot of things. It could be the talent, having a comfort zone and being happy just being on the card, or it could be simply a matter of casting, which also could be called booking.
Mm-hmm.
How you're cast is how you're going to perform, and by and large, and I think New Japan does a very good job of putting talents in the roles that they are best suited to perform. So, and sometimes in the States, the booking is dictated on what the decision makers perceive this talent should be. I like the Japanese way of booking, and the fact that they are very smart about trying to mask a talent's weaknesses and embellish a talent's strengths, which has always been the cornerstone and the foundation for sound booking since I got the business in the 70s.
Is there a guy in the States in TNA or Ring of Honor or WWE that you say to yourself, this guy would be such a hit in New Japan?
Oh, man. I think Cesaro would be a huge hit wherever he decides to lace his boots, whatever locker room that is. But he would be amazing in New Japan, in my view. I think he's Kevin Owens would be great in New Japan. So there's two guys right there. I'm not so sure. I think Ethan Carter III probably could evolve into a top star in New Japan. And, of course, Ring of Honor's got plenty of guys that are already working in New Japan.
Sure.
Pretty much their whole roster at some point or some aspects of the roster are already affiliated with Ring of Honor. So if you get guys that is perceived that their personality is not as strong as their in-ring working ability, those guys are your best candidates as a rule to transition to become big earners and main event guys in New Japan. Their first focus is what you do bell to bell. And then if you can augment that with sizzle outside the ring, interviews, ring attire, music, pyro, then you put the combination together and it seems to work. But the first priority is what can you do for me bell to bell?
Very different from the United States.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, you're right.
So, last question. It's kind of like it's related to wrestling, but it's kind of not. Like, when are you going to slow down? You've got so much on your plate between, you know, obviously the barbecue sauce, Fight TV, this. I mean, you constantly keep things on your plate. So when are you going to slow down?
As Bobby Heenan would say, when I take that last dirt nap, I have no desire to slow down. You know, my dad worked very diligently for the Oklahoma State Highway Department. He retired. He worked so much, took no sick leave, no vacation time, that he was able to retire a few years early. And then not too long after he retired, he passed away. And because I think he was bored, and I think he was not plugged into the life as much as he was previously. And I've always been a really busy guy. You know, I got in the wrestling business in 74, and I survived it. I had a 40-year run, 21 years in WWE. I'm used to working. I grew up on a farm. I grew up with a very lower to, at the very best, a moderate household of income. So I grew up working, and I enjoy working. And the great thing, Patrick, about at this stage of my life is I have the opportunity and the ability to work on projects that I truly like. I'm not working for that next payday. I'm working because I enjoy the projects. If I didn't have any job, and I was just perhaps just doing my podcast, which is doing very well, you know, we've got that up to doing north of 500,000 downloads a week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's doing very well. But if I chose not to work for Access or for CBS Sportsnet and doing boxing, then I'd still be fine. No issues going to the grocery store. You know, I had a great run, and McMahon made me a lot of money, and I was smart enough to see my peers who had great runs and blew their money. I was bound and determined, hell-bent, not to do that, and we didn't. So that was just good financial planning and living within your means. But I enjoy working. I enjoy the projects. I love going to Los Angeles, enjoying L.A., and going to the Access studio and kicking ass called wrestling matches. It takes me right back to where I was when I was younger and the product was more attuned to the New Japan product. The same thing when I go on March 12th, when I go to Las Vegas to do boxing. I'll be sitting at ringside. How good is that? And I won't be calling drop kicks and arm bars, but I'll be calling a boxing event. And I'm excited about that. So everything I'm doing, I had fun doing. I enjoy the podcast. You know, I'm working on a book with my writing partner, Paul O'Brien, who lives in Ireland. And we're, you know, I stay busy. But I'd like to think that I plan my time and I plan my work and I work my plan. I really am a proponent of time management, taking notes And I got a real good support staff around me, not only access, but right here in my house with my wife. So she's good about keeping me focused and making sure I pack the right clothes and you know, I'm ready to go. So I enjoy it. It's not really work to me. And that's the beauty. If you find a job in your life that when you get up in the morning, you don't feel like you're going to work. You feel like you're going to do something that's fun. Then you can do this for a long, long time. Huh? And I'm in that position right now, and I'm really enjoying it. I've never been happier, and I think my best work lies ahead. I really do.